Welcome to the Excel Pod.
Welcome back to Scripture Spotlight, where the text is the star of the show. I'm Garrett.
I'm Corey.
And we are in 1 Peter chapter 3, talking about Christ's suffering in chapter 3, verses 18 through 20. This is the second episode in that section. Today we're going to be looking at verses 19 and 20, continuing this thought about Christ's suffering. It says this: "In which he went and proclaimed to the spirits in prison because they formerly did not obey, when God's patience waited in the days of Noah, while the ark was being prepared, in which a few, that is, eight persons, were brought safely through water."
Okay, so starting off, "in which" brings us back to verse 18, "in spirit." Mm-hmm. And this verse, verse 19 especially, causes a lot of heartburn and creates some problems on trying to figure out when did he visit these spirits.
Yeah.
And I believe that I think you do too, he's talking about preaching during the days of Noah's day. There's been some doctrines that have been created that during the 3 days between his crucifixion and resurrection that Jesus went to hell. And a lot of people have used these verses to back up some bad doctrines based on that. But first of all, you read the ESV, "proclaimed to the spirits in prison."
Mm-hmm.
Some translations have "the spirits now in prison," and "now" is not there in the original. So the question is, when did he go? When he was put to death? Or was it during the time of Noah, like I think it was and you think it was? And I think verse 20, our context there, helps us to see that.
Yeah, I think verse 20 does. And then also just the, I guess by reason and deduction, it doesn't make any sense in my mind for Jesus to go preach in hell. Because first of all, why does he go to hell to preach to only the people that were alive during Noah's day?
And which not is what everybody? He's talking about here.
Yeah, that doesn't make sense. And then, why does he preach to anyone in hell whose judgment is already decided? Because if they can't be changed, then what's the reason in preaching? And if they can be changed, then why write all this in the first three chapters about, you know, trying to save yourself from hell and being righteous and living in a righteous way?
Yeah, what about all those people that lived before Noah's day and after Noah's day? Why didn't he not preach to them?
I can guarantee you that 100% of people in hell right now, that if preached by Jesus, could change their decision, they would, you know? So it doesn't make sense in a lot of ways, I think, for him to do that. I think it just based on that logic, that it has to be in the days of Noah that he's talking about here in verse 20.
Yeah, and when did Noah have the opportunity, the days of Noah, I should say, have the opportunity to hear the preaching of Jesus, which is to do right? Well, when Noah preached it. And in 2 Peter chapter 2 and verse 5, in 2 Peter, he's going to say that Noah was a preacher of righteousness.
Yeah.
See, that's the expansion of the idea that Jesus loves the lost and has always been involved in saving men, and that's why he suffered. All the way back, like, for example, Peter's saying, in the days of Noah, when it was preached to do, suffer for what's right and don't do evil.
Yeah, and I mean, if you go back and look at the flood account in Genesis chapter 6 through about 8, you know, it took about 100 years to construct the ark and for Noah and his sons to get that together, to collect the animals, for all that to take place after he was given that commandment. Just based on that account and also him being defined as a preacher of righteousness tells me that Noah was not like a hermit just keeping to himself building a boat during that 100 years. He was trying to get other people on that boat, and what it ended up being was eight people. And so it seems to me that for 100 years, people were given an opportunity to do what was right instead of what was evil, and they denied that opportunity. Mm-hmm. And I think the point of bringing that here is to say, don't be like those people. Mm-hmm. You know, we need to be pursuing what is good so that we're not being lost like the people that were in Noah's day.
Yeah, and he says that, you know, while the ark was being prepared, that's when they were preaching. And then he says that they were brought safely through the water. And I'm thinking, wait a minute. I thought they were saved by an ark.
Yeah.
Well, what technically they were saved by was doing what God said.
Mm-hmm.
And then the water washed away all the iniquity out of the human race. And the righteous, the ones who did what was right in God's eyes, were saved by water, which takes us back up to verse 13. Now, who is there to harm you if you're zealous for what is good? See, they did what was good, what God defined as good, and then God chose water. Now, sometimes, you know, we get all up in arms about water baptism, but no one said to God, hey, God, I got an idea. Why don't you immerse us in water to let us go to heaven? That idea came from God. He's chosen water to save people.
Yeah.
And no one said, you know, would have talked back to God and said, hey, but well, baptism is a work, and that's not right. Well, it is a work, but nowhere in the Bible does it say it's a work that we do. It's God's work on us. But
yeah, I think Noah would have definitely said that there's some work involved, but it wasn't that Noah just decided one day, hey, maybe I should start building a boat.
Yeah. You know? Well, and there's a difference in obedience and working, trying to earn salvation. So they had to, that's the point is that when Jesus was preached to them, in other words, suffer for what's right, don't do what's evil. The ones who chose to do that, they chose to do it by obeying the word. And when we obey what God says, then God will fulfill his promises that he's made in those conditional promises. And that brought, it says in the text here, it says it were brought safely. Well, the Greek word there is the word for saved. They were saved through water, in other words. And so all of that's important because he's going to use that as an illustration to get us to what we're going to talk about in our next section. Mm-hmm. But
yeah, he's bringing this he's bringing this consistent theme that, you know, we act like baptism is a new idea, but you can look through Scripture and see that, you know, water is a consistent theme with God and saving people. Maybe the methods changed a little bit, but he did it with Noah, and he's done it with you know, cleansing and the cleansing pools they had in Jerusalem, the mikvahs, and, you know, you can look at a lot of different examples to say that there's a theme there.
But see, we get hung up on, does baptism save us or not?
Right.
The ark didn't save them. The water didn't save them. God saved them. When did he save them? Well, he saved them when they chose to do what was right and turned away from what was wrong. Choosing to do what's right is to do what God said, the way he said it.
Yeah.
Even if we don't understand it, even if it causes suffering, you know, and it's the same thing with baptism or anything else. It's not the water that saves. There's nothing special about the water. It's, are we willing to turn from evil and do what is right? And doing what is right means doing what God said.
It's not holy water. It's a holy God.
That's right.
That makes us holy in the process. So holding on to that and choosing to do right and following his plan and his path is what ensures our walk with him. We hope that this has been a good study for you today, something that you can look into and dive into God's word in your own time. We appreciate you taking 5 to 10 minutes every day and diving into God's word with us, and we pray that this is something that can help you and something that you can share with others to assist in their walk with the Lord as well. We'll see you next time on Scripture Spotlight, where the text is the star of the show.